Thank you for tuning in for Tune Up with Deb, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association. Now back to your host, Deb Ross.
So we are talking about income tax preparation. I know it might seem a little premature with we're not quite at Christmas. However, I just would like to participate in reducing stress around income tax. So I think it's a good topic for us to talk about today. My guest is Melissa Barna. She is with MNP LLP, which is a national accounting firm. And I've asked her to come in and chat with us specifically about getting ready for income tax season and tips and ideas for folks along the way that we can be better prepared for income tax season. So Melissa, again, thank you so much for your time today.
You bet.
So I have personally noticed that a leading cause of bankruptcy, particularly amongst small business owners, is a failure to respect and account for taxes in their business dealings. They often don't allow for tax as an expense when they are bidding on jobs. And then, of course, they don't have the money to make the required remittances throughout the year, which, of course, comes to a head when it's time for them to file their personal income taxes. Now, this is a major and a common problem, so I would really appreciate your comments on my observation.
It definitely is a major and common problem, Deb. Definitely. Whenever I have met with new entrepreneurs, one of the first things that we discuss is setting aside money for income taxes. Now, one of the most common mistakes of new entrepreneurs is to dive into doing their work without any preparation and without talking to a bookkeeper or accountant ahead of time to help them make that transition between being an employee and being self-employed. It is huge. When you are self-employed, your rate is not your wage. That is not what you get to take home to your family to put food on the table. Your rate is what goes into paying all the expenses of running your business. And one of those expenses is your income taxes. And so when there are no set contracts in place that give a determined amount of income from which to calculate the amount of taxes that should be set aside, because you do have the odd entrepreneur who has a set contract, they have one client, and they act more like an employee than a subcontractor. And that's pretty consistent. And we can help determine an exact amount that gets set aside every month. But the vast majority of entrepreneurs have multiple clients, multiple jobs that change from job to job, the amount changes, etc. And so I always default to recommending my clients set aside 30% of their gross sales for income taxes. A self-employed person's gross sales are the total sales before any expenses or deductions are taken off. Remember that as a self-employed person, you are not only responsible for paying your own income taxes, but you're also responsible for paying both the employer and employee portions of CPP, the Canada Pension Plan. So when you're an employee, you look at your pay stub and you see if you made a couple $1,000s, then you're going to see a certain amount of CPP that has come off. And that certain amount is 4.95% of your gross wages. So what happens is the employer has to match that amount and send it to the government. So essentially 4.95% times 2 is 9.9%. That's almost 10% of your gross wages that gets paid to the Canadian government, the Canada Revenue Agency, for your Canada pension plan. And so it is a huge expense that you need to be aware of. You are still required to pay that. That is not optional. You cannot opt out of the CPP. And so when you go to file your taxes as a self-employed person, the tax software or the professional who's preparing your taxes is going to calculate what that 9.9% of your earnings is on self-employment income. So that isn't even your income taxes. That's just your CPP. So when you are a self-employed person and you are jumping in and you're getting so excited because you have a $10,000 job here and a $5,000 job there, and so you go home at the end of the day, you have this money in your bank account, in your business account, and you start pulling that money out to use for your personal life, it is so easy, far too easy for new entrepreneurs, new business owners to spend all their money without setting aside the amount for taxes. And it is not uncommon to see many business owners go bankrupt over $50,000, $100,000 of income tax bills that end up even at the end of the year. If you think that your consistent net take-home pay is around $5,000 a month, and at the end of the year, you end up with a $17,000 tax bill because you haven't remitted anything to the Canada Revenue Agency each month throughout the year, that can break you. That can be enough to put you over the edge. Where are you going to get that extra money? How many years is it going to take you to pay that off instead of just setting aside a certain amount of money? So when we set up a new entrepreneur or a new business person, we help them to structure what bank accounts they should have. Every business owner should have a primary business bank account, and they should have at least one secondary savings account for taxes. And if they put that 30% in every time they receive money on sales, then at the end of the year when they file their income taxes, they're going to have that money there. They just treat it like it doesn't exist throughout the year. They file their taxes, and whether their tax bill is $1,700 or $72,000, that money is set aside already, and whatever's left over gets treated as a refund, just like an employed person would file their taxes and woohoo, they get a $700 refund. If you are a self-employed person and you have that money set aside in an account, you can treat whatever money is left over in that account as your refund instead of being angry and upset at the government for taxes, because we all know that taxes have to be paid, and the government is going to get them. Either we're going to pay them on time, or we're going to be penalized later.
What a great summary for an encouragement of putting money away regularly throughout the year. I have a very large concern for our trades, particularly in this area. There's such a high level of competition amongst the trades.
Yes.
And I feel that that environment, where that competition lies, is the undercutting and the underbidding. And I can't help but think that the individuals who are participating in the undercutting and the underbidding are doing so at the expense of their taxes.
Oh, definitely.
Which tends to affect the general market of the trades. So if we're talking about one trade and you've got one tradesperson who's undercutting, or a couple, the cost expectation for the trade work diminishes.
Definitely.
Which doesn't serve the entire trade, where I think that tradespeople should be able to be paid a proper wage. And not just a wage, of course, the job done, and not have to participate in underbidding and undercutting at the expense of their taxes, because, of course, they're still buying supplies. They
Yes.
have to have supplies. And those supplies are certainly not going down in price.
Definitely. And there's something to be said about experience. And so when you are choosing who to hire for those tradespeople, don't just take the lowest bid. If you're trying to do a little home renovation or something, get a few bids, check references, call around. How long has that person been in business? Call a few of their previous clients. Were their quotes accurate? And have they followed through? Were they timely? There's definitely something to be said, because there is high competition. There are a lot of people who think they can do it better on their own, but without that proper planning ahead of time and without consideration of tax implications and how it affects our industry and their own jobs as a whole in the long term, it is going to affect the construction industry negatively if there are tradespeople who are making poor decisions in this regard.
And often I think it's uneducated decisions, because they have mm-hmm. to stay busy in order to pay their bills.
So and they to stay too busy yes. instead of taking the time to properly plan and prepare.
Yes. So I meet a lot of people who say they're going to try preparing their own taxes this year, that they're tired of paying tax prep fees. So for these folks, are there any common filing mistakes that can be avoided from your perspective, Melissa?
Oh, there always are. Whenever I hear questions that are like this or stories that are like this or comments that are like this, I can't help thinking about, you know, my gallbladder surgery and how I should have just gone with that ambulance attendant and said, you know, I have this sore inside me. Can you just cut it out? Could you just open me up right here in the ambulance and you can just take my organ out, sew me back up and I can go on my merry way? No, I wouldn't do that because that ambulance attendant, as important as they are, they do not have the education and experience of the doctors and then the surgeons who then can go in and make sure it's done properly. So, yes, you can do your own taxes. The first step, we'll get back to the expertise, but the first step is get yourself set up on the Canada Revenue Agency website function, My Account for Individuals. So just Google Canada Revenue Agency, go on there. It's actually, they've been revamping their website. It's becoming more and more user-friendly. Find the sections for individuals, and you want to look for My Account for Individuals. And do this right away because the Canada Revenue Agency does have some different steps you have to fulfill so that the odd person can't just go on and fraudulently try to log in as someone else. So they will verify your information. But once you have an account set up and you go through those couple steps, then you can log in and view your own account. And this online function allows you to see previous year tax returns, carry forward amounts, and various communications that the CRA has sent you over the past. You can look up your RSP limit, see where your home buyer's RSP repayment is at. You can become familiar with how the Canada Revenue Agency has processed your taxes in the past. Maybe you can see some trends and understand your own history and help you know what you are doing when you sit down and you try to do it yourself. So here's the thing. Taxes are not rocket science. However, the Income Tax Act of Canada is 3,220 pages long. There are several easy-to-use income tax software programs around that can help eager citizens to prepare their own income taxes. But if you have any anxiety about whether or not you are doing it right, and even just a double check, even if you're doing it every year, it doesn't hurt to pay a professional $100 or $200 to review what you've done or go over it, ask a few questions so that you might end up saving thousands of dollars. They know which rocks to look under, and they are the professionals that have been doing it for many years and have become familiar with that 3,220-page document called the Canada Income Tax Act.
Melissa, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate your insights.
Thank you for having me.
To my listeners, we'll talk again soon.
A half-hour financial advice program, Tune Up with Deb, is produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Deb Ross is an accredited financial counselor with Intune Financial Solutions in Prince George. Be listening for Tune Up with Deb each week at this time. For previous shows or more information on Intune Financial Solutions, visit intunefinancial.ca.